Welcome to the ADAA podcast about mind-body practices in the treatment of anxiety disorders. Today we're talking with Dr. Patricia Gerbarg of New York Medical College and Dr. Richard Brown of Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons. Let me start asking you the first question. What are mind-body practices, particularly breath practices, and how can they be beneficial in the treatment of anxiety disorders?
Stress is any change which our nervous system has to adapt to. And the key to that is having enough energy to deal with the stress. Your nervous system must burn energy to deal with stress effectively. And also being able to conserve that energy instead of frittering it away. So breath practices are one of the easiest ways to raise our energy, and taking our autonomic nervous system, which helps us deal with stress, as well as recharging from stress, and bringing it to a much better balance again. Because stress generally creates an imbalance, and most people nowadays are in a chronic imbalance in which they're kind of in a stress overdrive, and they don't easily know how to turn on the soothing, recharging part of their nervous system.
Are some anxiety disorders more responsive to breath practices than others?
Well, I don't think there's been formal study of that yet, but certainly if someone has one anxiety disorder, that's easier than several. Many patients have several anxiety disorders and often other comorbid disorders, including depression or substance abuse. So if a person just has generalized anxiety disorder, that generally will be easier to treat, whereas obsessive-compulsive disorder or post-traumatic stress disorder will require more intensive treatment.
How do you recommend that clinicians incorporate breath practices into their practice?
Well, the first thing is, of course, that they need to learn about them, because there are many, many different kinds of breath practices. And what we've done over the last 10 years is we've studied breath practices from many different traditions: yoga, qigong, Zen, modern breath practices, and we've studied all of the research to try to understand better how changing your pattern of breathing can change your state of mind. It can change your emotional tone, and it can even change the way your thoughts are going. So by doing certain breath practices, it's possible to turn off the worry activity of the mind, and certain breath practices rapidly reduce anxiety or agitation. So it's best for someone who's a therapist to begin learning about this, reading about this, and attending seminars and workshops to learn about it so that they can understand what are the different types and what would apply best to their practice. We give seminars. We've actually written a book about this for therapists called How to Use Herbs, Nutrients, and Yoga for Mental Health Care. And it's really written to teach healthcare practitioners what breath practices are most suitable for their patients and how to use them safely and effectively. And then it's a matter, we think, that the therapist should actually master the breath practices themselves, and that's a really important way to understand how they affect one's mind and emotional state, and also to understand what obstacles can arise and how to help the patient overcome those obstacles. It's very easy in office practice to just take 15, 20 minutes and teach, for example, a very simple breath practice called Ujjayi or ocean breath. And that will, within 5 minutes, take a patient who's in a tense, anxious state into a feeling of deep relaxation. So once the patient has that experience and realizes it's within their power to do this and they don't need a prescription for an anxiolytic, they're much more motivated then to really use it and stop asking for so many pills.
And what can patients expect in terms of commitment and length of treatment? And can you address any risks, if there are any?
Yes. Obviously, there are some immediate benefits that people can experience: immediate reduction in anxiety, very helpful in terms of sleep disorders. The patient will be able to put themselves to sleep without medication. So those are some of the immediate things. But of course, the more the person practices on a daily basis, over time there are further benefits that accrue. And so it's really important for the therapist to understand and believe how these work, and so that they can reinforce and encourage the patient. You know, just as you have to check, is your patient taking their medication, we have to say, how often are you doing your breath practice? Well, it was only twice a week. You know, it would really help a lot more if you could get that up to 5 times a week and to help them deal with whatever it is that gets in their way so that they do that. It's also very helpful if there's a group available, a weekly group, that's very reinforcing.
And are there any risks?
There are. Any treatment has some risks. And in our book, we go into depth about this, but certain patients are more vulnerable, particularly patients with bipolar disorder. We warn that they should not do any rapid or forceful breath practices because that can trigger them to become agitated or even manic. These have antidepressant effects, and if you give an antidepressant to a patient who's vulnerable, who's bipolar, they get manic, and the same with the breath practices. And so that's one of the main cautions. People with seizure disorders, for example, have to be very careful not to do rapid breath practices. Pregnant women, again, we recommend only the slowest, gentlest breath practices, no breath holds and so forth. And then people with severe chronic obstructive pulmonary disease have difficulty, or acute asthma symptoms can't do them. But long-term, it's very beneficial for asthma.
Let me ask you something else. Is it becoming more common for clinicians to use breath practices to treat anxiety disorders, or is this something that's relatively new?
I think it's relatively new, but it's a growing area. We don't know how many people are using these. I mean, it's interesting to network, and we're hearing about more and more people who are trying different kinds of breath practices. But very often, people learn one breath practice, and they think that's all that there is, and then they just get stuck with that. Whereas if you go out and explore, you'll discover there are many more options. I do also want to mention patients with post-traumatic stress disorder or patients who have panic attacks or severe anxiety disorders. It's important to modify the breath techniques so that you don't trigger a lot of panic or regressions or flashbacks or things like that. And there are ways to do that safely, so it's important that therapists learn about that.
Thank you, Dr. Gerbarg and Dr. Brown. This is Jean Kaplan-Tycrow for ADAA.